and like a wall, you put a little wall of jokes that you never really experienced the real world.
Bad song.
Next thing you know, you're getting deported to build a wall.
I was smoking strange when I met a penguin. Goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deranged Penguin Podcast coming at you. It's the month of love and Black History.
Happy BHM. Yeah. Right.
That sounds like it's related to poo.
Yeah, don't say BHM. That, I don't know if I like that. I don't like
not
that.
Not digging that.
No.
I think in honor of Black History Month today, Beyonce announced that she's going to have some twins. Yeah, hype.
What?
Gonna make some extra black people.
Yeah.
Nah,
more black
I'm
people.
I'm thrilled
to make
history. I didn't know
history.
That, but that's really exciting.
You know, I'm not gonna lie.
I never think it hurts having like extra attractive people around.
My reaction to her news was great, another fake pregnancy. I mean, it's cool that they're having kids, but we all know that she uses a surrogate, and I don't know why she doesn't want to acknowledge that. But anyway, you know.
Is she...
Yeah, Gina was truthering her Beyonce's like picture of her.
She was
like, "That's fake. That's a fake belly." I tell you that right now.
Is that Jay-Z's child twins?
Yeah.
I like them, man. I'm glad to.
Okay,
they're like superstar, like beyond superstars. You know, they're pretty much like the upper echelons of the upper echelons.
I think a superstar is that level. Like a regular star.
No.
Beyond that.
Superstar would be like Lady Gaga or maybe Madonna. These people like exist on a different plane than them.
I think you're right. I think they're sort of transcendental.
Almost like on the same plane that the Beatles are on, I would think. Just in terms of like who they are as like stars and being able to like keep that level of stardom throughout their lives. Like Jay-Z can come back at any time and still be as big a star as he was as when he left, you know.
Yeah,
and
maybe
everything he puts out is still good.
I'm not a big Jay-Z
but
fan.
they're just like a married couple, man, you know. Like there's no drama. People don't write stories about them. Like,
well, they write about their own drama.
Yeah, like
they capitalize on it.
I see your point, though, but this is not the Jay-Z
they
and Beyonce
like their
appreciation
own
show.
I'm just saying, man.
I agree with your point about how big they are. But, I mean, he did cheat on her, and then she did make an album all about their business. I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm going to do a painting about our business. Mm-hmm. That's my.
That's what artists do, I guess. Yeah.
That's what artists report on
their lives.
That doesn't bother me at all. That's what musicians actually do all the time. You may just not know actually who that they're talking about,
right? Yeah. But I mean, that's, I don't think it's any different than like anybody who gets into some sort of like hairy relationship beef.
You air it
to your friends, or you air it to your neighbors, or like
or to Facebook.
I mean, like, it's, you know, it's gonna get out some way.
I mean,
and if you can capitalize on it and make yourself an extra couple, you know, million bucks, good for you.
So Beyonce, what, her first album was just like, you know, I don't even know what her first album was about. But like your second album, wasn't it about like coming to terms with being, no, it was like, because it was like called like Sasha Fierce. What was that about? I don't know. But
her alter ego.
Yeah, it was about like stages in her life. Everybody has that, right? Like even like I think Outkast's second album was about them like dealing with the fame of being famous after the first album. Yeah. So everybody has that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this week in the fall of Western civilization.
Ugh.
So among the things, just off the top of my head, today Donald Trump and the GOP, Grand Old Party, said, you know what? Let's roll back those protections that Obama put forth, preventing coal companies from dumping coal into fresh water. So it's not a big deal. Don't need to do that. Hey, by the way, let's go ahead and confirm Rex Tillerson, Exxon CEO, as Secretary of State. Also, let's put forth a bill in the House that says that oil companies do not need to disclose the foreign payments they make. So that's good. The payments to foreign countries. That's another good thing.
Yeah.
We didn't need that. Why would we need that? Why would we need them to disclose it?
I don't understand. What's the big deal?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. No big deal. It's no big deal at all.
$80 billion just disappeared. It's not that big a deal. Just take it easy.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a Muslim ban, or there is a Muslim ban, an immigrant ban. And I mean, I don't know. Like, on the one hand, like a good.
It's not a Muslim ban, Adam.
Yeah. Well, it's not even a ban if you listen to Sean Spicer, the press secretary. He's like, not a ban. It's a made up by the media. And then you look at Donald Trump saying, well, this ban is only a blah, blah, blah. You listen to them, yeah. Like, oh, so they can't even get their story straight, which makes me feel kind of good. But then the other hand, they're doing all this, so it makes me feel awful. Let's go around the room. Just quickly, Gina, I'm going to point at you first. How do you feel about everything today?
I don't know. It's definitely still been nonstop news, which is great. I deleted my Uber. And
Hashtag delete Uber.
I don't know. I'm trying to keep up, but also trying not to stay too on top of the news because it is still depressing.
Yeah.
I agree.
Hey, Dina, will you do me a favor?
No.
Will you give me a rundown on the Uber situation?
So on Saturday, there was a trending hashtag on Twitter, delete Uber, because during the height of the news on the ban in New York at JFK, right, the taxi drivers were boycotting. And so Uber did not boycott. Their drivers crossed the picket line. They dropped their surge pricing, and everybody was basically pissed at them for doing this.
For essentially being scabs, among other things.
Breaking the line, man.
A couple of the people that like started Delete Uber were like, it's not just because of this. It's because Uber is just bad. They're bad for workers. They're bad for a lot of people.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit about their drivers. They're just using them until they can get self-driving cars, and they're going to cut the drivers.
And weren't people saying something about the founder,
CEO?
Yeah, CEO of Uber and his...
He's tied very closely to Trump. He's actually on one of his boards, one of his committees.
Yeah. And so the whole thing about, like, start getting on Lyft, they're like, well, Lyft is not the best choice either because one of their major investors is Peter Thiel, you know? Who famously killed Gawker and supports he supports Donald Trump, and despite the fact that he's gay, and he also has said something about like harvesting the blood of the young people to live forever. Anyway,
awesome.
How do you feel about everything, Del?
Transport, man. I feel my. I actually feel. Like Trump is doing everything he said he was going to do, and I'm glad for that because my biggest fear right now is that things are going to settle down, that he's going to get quiet and like it's just going to become like a normal thing and let these things like rolling back the regulations on coal and stuff like that kind of like be quiet little things amidst other chaotic things that are going on. But so far he hasn't, like, every day there's been another major thing that is questionable whether it's even legal for the president to do this, you know? So I'm just waiting. Like, I hope that he continues. I hope that he gets emboldened, and I hope that he oversteps himself and gets impeached.
But I did see, like, on that subject, I did see someone speculating that this could be their strategy, like, rolling out so many things at once, and everybody's just going to get fatigued. Yeah, from being outraged.
Yeah, I think if that was her intention, it's having the opposite effect. You don't see a lot. I mean, there's people want.
You could say that, but yeah. It's only February 1st.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, for everything that's important to somebody, you want everybody to stand up and have a protest about it, right? The fact that like people are getting up in the faces of Democrats, I think there's a whole protest outside of Chuck Schumer's Brooklyn apartment where they're like, you need to like basically vote no and resist all of Donald Trump's nominations. Like, you need to fight harder. Because some of the Democrats were kind of just like, oh, we'll just work with them. It's not a big deal. Like, we can't be obstructionist and this, that, and the other. And I think all of these things are making people angry and upset and writing their congressmen, their congresspeople, and are spurring a lot of the things that you'd like to hear, like people organizing and coming together and making shit happen. So that's good. But, you know, I think over time, it's just a year. You can't stay at, you know, this level of stress the whole year. But, I mean, at the same time, that's the only thing left to do. You can't just like, yeah, it'll all work out.
So have we seen any of this action swaying Congress people who would have otherwise?
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel powerless. And a lot of people, like, when I say that to people, the status reaction is usually, well, get involved. You got to write your congressman, and you got to get on his Facebook page, and you got to run for office yourself, and you got to, you know, keep fighting the good fight. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, no, I'm doing that stuff.
Well, I hear there's a couple things there that, like,
feel
a lot of like activists it makes a say, difference. Don't write them to call them. Are you calling them?
I have not.
So there you go. That's the thing to do. And then go to one of these protests. Like, go out there where there's activism to be had. Like, because those other things, you know, like, do you ever read your email? No. But if somebody.
Every day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, maybe. But a lot of people get a lot of email that you ignore. But if somebody's calling you all the time, or if somebody's coming up to you all the time at your desk, hey, Brett, you're like, what? What is it? What do you want? You can take that person a little bit more seriously.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I don't think calling is going to make a damn difference either. I mean, and part of the reason I don't is because these guys heavily staff. You know, it's not like they're the congressman just sitting there by the desk, like waiting for the rotary phone to ring. I mean, these guys are, you know, they're out hanging out in D.C. and I would be shocked if you could even get a phone call to get routed to the same building.
I think, though, that, like, I've seen things actually happening, though. Like I have friends in Dallas who went to the DFW protests and were there until, like, literally until they released them, until either they decided to follow the federal judge's ruling or just decided to just ignore Trump's thing. And they went there for like 3 or 4 days, and I guess they're still doing it, but because it's the same thing every day, but until they actually get released. And so I think there's a measure of success, and we'll see, man. I think, like, I've seen Republican senators and congressmen like step out, and I think it's a response to popular pressure on them.
Yeah. So a couple responses. Yeah. One to what Brad was saying about nobody picks up the phone. I don't know. I don't know the life of a congressman or every congressman, and not every congressman is responsive. But from what I've seen and what I read about, that a lot of congressmen are reacting to it. And, like, the way it works, yeah, they're staffed. And the staffs, you know, most of the calls they get are like, oh, you know, just lower my taxes and the usual shit, right? It's the people a lot of time call in about the shit they care about. But all these calls are coming in. What about this health care? You guys are getting rid of my health care. What's your deal? Don't get rid of my health care. They're calling. It's consistent. They have their staff put together the top 10 issues of the day. How many people called about it, right? And so they're getting his report, and it's like health care, Donald Trump's bullshit, et cetera, whatever it is, right? So you call them, where are you from? Are you going to, you know, people that might vote for them or that care about them. They're getting these. At least a couple senators or representatives weren't even taking voicemails anymore because they were so full, they didn't have anybody to go through the voicemails. Like, they're overwhelming the staff. So that's good. Once it overwhelms the staff, then it gets to the congressman. You know what I mean? Other people, I think it was like Harley Davidson pulled out of a thing they were going to do with Donald Trump because they're like, yeah, we don't really want the protests. So that's good too. Doesn't mean, you know, like,
yeah,
how you pressure these people is you touch their wallet. You like, you know, like Uber. Everybody was deleting it and hashtagging it, delete Uber. Uber sent me an email. I was like, you know, we actually like immigrants. That's where we're going to donate. And please don't go. Please come back. I mean,
yeah, I did see like that. Where Lyft, well, I know it's like over and above. So like Lyft donated like $1 million or something like that to refugee replacement or something. And then Uber stepped in like a day later and donated like $3 million. And I was like, what the fuck is going on with these two idiots?
Like, what are they doing? So, I mean, so that's the thing is that like the ACLU generated like $24 million over the weekend donations, right? People are doing stuff, right? And it's a good time. You got to ride the wave. Everybody remembers your public policy process class from whatever. You know, this is, it's on the agenda. It's agenda setting. Yeah,
that didn't happen.
Yeah, it's a thing of the
moment. That did.
It's a thing of the moment. So, you know, now's the time to make some waves. And outside of like armed rebellion, which I don't think anybody's advocating, but if you listen to Fox News, that's what they think is happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the way to
all the snowflakes. Snowflakes getting, you know, armed.
I mean, a lot of people are just, they're doing a very American thing, a very democratic thing. It's organizing together and making their voices heard. Because it wasn't happening before, right? You know, like, hey, Congressman, I'd like some health care. I'd like not to be murdered by the police wantonly. Yeah. I mean, is that cool? And I'm like, eh, I back to blue, though. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Blue lives matter, man.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the blue lives are killing me, though, you know, without regard for, you know, actual circumstances. Can maybe... all right. So, anyways, ladies and gentlemen,
take the vitamin, sir.
That's why the world.
It's convenient shape. It's conveniently shaped and looks and feels and tastes like a bullet. And it's issued by police officers. But that's what we want you to do. So it's continue to do.
I think that there is starting to be a realization among more Republicans that Trump is not actually a Republican. And like a lot of the things that he's doing are like even directly against Reagan, who most hardcore traditional Republicans raise up as the god of Republicans, like the quintessential Republican person is Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan, what enacted, as far as I'm aware, the biggest amnesty policy that's ever been enacted for immigrants and stuff. So just that fact alone sets Trump completely at odds with what it means to be a real Republican. I think I'm not worried, like the Democrats are the Democrats. Like they're obviously gonna, to a degree, for whatever, go in whatever direction they think is gonna gain them, curry the most favor for them for the next election cycle. But I'm most interested in seeing how the Republicans start to faction out and splinter off, like with McCain and the other dude from North Carolina or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, all these politicians are pretty awful. They're taking there's nobody principled up there, right? I mean,
no.
Even John McCain, who sometimes says some things I agree with, then you look back to the other things he said and you're like, God, this guy just fucking says some shit just to, they're politicians. I at least with them, you kind of know what you're getting with these other guys, like the Trump guys, the Bannon, Steve Miller, with their super ties to white supremacy and you know, alt-right neo-Nazi shit. You don't really know what you're getting, right? And you have some people saying, it's a kleptocracy. It's just, they're going to, authoritarianism, they're going to go and destroy, you know, like, whatever. Maybe that could be the case. And I try not to freak out about some crazy shit like that. But I also try to be a little prepared for it, like mentally, because I don't want to get blindsided. Like I was with Trump. I was like, this is not going to happen. It's not going to fucking happen. And then there's fucking Donald Trump. You know, this is the best inauguration. Anyway, let's move on. That was a lot of talk about shit. It was supposed to be like 5 minutes. It was like 20 minutes. Let's move on to some things, guys. You guys excited about the Super Bowl? I have not been excited.
No.
Not me either.
Could not. He's in it.
Houston,
Atlanta, and New England.
Yeah. What did I say? Houston. It's in Houston. Atlanta and New England. Yeah, it's in Houston. I'm not
Houston.
For the first time in a long time, I think I'm just not really excited about the Super Bowl. Well, not even that. I think I'm just.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm the least excited. I figured maybe you guys are from the South. If you're gonna pick any Southern team, you'd pick the Falcons.
Saints. That would make sense. Saints usually, but yeah, I understand that. But I don't ever remember being excited about a Super Bowl. It's been a while for me. The year that Tom Petty played the halftime show, I was excited about that part.
Yeah. Why? Why even?
speaking of that, do we have any idea who the musical artist is? He's doing a halftime show?
Yeah, it's...
I feel like it? I knew, and now I don't know.
Yeah, same. I knew, but now I don't know.
I think without knowing him, I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be a bust, and I'm going to give it a 1.5 out of 10. Lady Gaga.
Is it Lady Gaga?
There you go.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Which version of Madonna is she going to be this year?
The cowboy one. She's doing the cowboy thing.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
That was a Madonna version.
She's rushing it all. It's not going to last her.
I mean, when you're covering the hits, right, you just kind of go through them, I guess. Did you guys, I know I'm talking about the thing, the show, the links. Did you guys read this 1941 article, Who Goes Nazi, in Harper's Magazine? I posted it.
No.
I didn't finish it. I think I got about halfway through. Yeah. I was maybe Who on person it's G.
It's a pretty scorching take on who would become a Nazi in your, it's like a parlor game they play. But it's really talking about society, like who in society has like Nazi sympathies. And this was written in 1941, and gosh darn it, if it doesn't have some parallels with today, I recommend it. I'll post it in the show notes here. It's it was in Harper's Magazine.
So out of the four of us, who goes to Nazi?
Brad.
Me?
Yeah.
Dude, if I'm going Nazi, we are doomed. We are all doomed. Because I am so far away from that right now. But if I'm the one that's going Nazi, these other people are
like following the way they, you definitely read the article. It's pretty good. So following the way they talk about it, like Dell's too contrarian to do it. I think,
I'm going to be anti whatever the establishment is.
Yeah, it's so. Like somebody that, it does go through like person A to G and like the kind of person they are.
Upbringing and tendencies and that kind of stuff.
It's like somebody born rich, never had to work for anything, and they don't really care about principles. They just care about, they're like front runners basically. So that's that. I mean, there was something else I was going to mention.
I don't think any of us fit into any of the.
Yeah, no, it's just fun calling Brad that.
Yeah. It's Brad.
It's Brad.
I got to support my white brother every once in a while. Right, man. We're the new oppressed
that's what you
man.
Guys need.
The white man is the low man on the totem pole. Right?
Yeah. Ugh.
God, it's so hard all the way down here.
So, like, is a totem pole here like
with everybody else?
Is it like a pyramid because there's so many white people?
Which is some of them such a racist way to say that too. Like, really, like
the totem pole.
The white man is a low man on the totem pole. Yeah.
Good time.
This is the only circumstance under which that's true is if the totem pole has been jammed further into the earth.
What do you guys think about Russ Wilson? Maybe just setting his triple double record. Yeah, I care about that.
I don't.
Dude,
I don't think about that at all.
What's a triple double?
Brad, can you tell him what a triple double is, please?
No,
is
I don't where, tell me. It's where you get double digit statistics in three categories.
Oh my gosh.
And it's significant because
the knowledge is in you now, Del. Yeah.
When was the last? I mean, the last time, well, the only time somebody averaged a triple double was Oscar Robertson
in the 60s.
Back in 68 or something.
Oh, yeah. Oscar Robertson, that guy.
Yeah, that
was awesome. Hey, the big
Oscar Wilde.
It is awesome.
That's right.
The only Oscar you need to know.
Brad, did you see that they were kind of saying that maybe
remember the Swiss
they were trying
Robinson?
To pad his stats like on free throws. He's up like 40% on free throws.
They're doing the sports thing now. Yeah. All right.
So like they were blocking out for him, and then he gets a rebound. Like when it could clearly be Enes Kanter.
They're not even talking about football. They're talking about basketball. And,
I didn't know either.
So there you go.
Fuck those dudes. The guy is killing it, and he doesn't have anybody else on his entire team who's worth a damn. Every time he comes out of the game, the differential is just like completely in the red, and they're plus 500. So, I mean, I got a lot of sympathy for him.
I'm enjoying it. I'm a basketball fan. Enjoying it. Okay, well, let's move on since these guys are these guys are. Awful.
Did you guys see that they came out with the 2017 Oscar nominations? And do you care?
I'll tell you right now, La La Land is boring as fuck. Watch that movie. I was bored out of my fucking mind.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
It's no secret. It's a musical.
It's right. Harmless.
Yeah, it is.
It's not bad, but it's not good. And people are raving about it unjustly.
It starts out with a big musical number. And I think that was supposed to catch you. Like, boom, wow, look at that. That was pretty spectacular, right? This is a different kind of movie. Yeah. You sit back and enjoy. But it didn't grab me. You know what I mean? It was like, if it's the crane in the little arcade thing, it just completely whiffed. And it was going back with nothing. I was still laying there, you know? Plush toy.
Just stuffed.
Waiting just to stuffed. Be taken. Yeah, nothing. That didn't grab me. Singing's mediocre. It's like talk singing even. The dancing's pretty. Like, if you've ever seen Gene Kelly dance and you see Ryan Gosling dance, I mean, that's not really a comparison. You're like, really? You want me to get wowed by this guy doing a little shuffle? Looks like he had to take a piss. It's really, you know what I mean? Like, I do that dance all the time when I got to use Rush. That was not that great. You're not missing out on it and very much if you don't watch it, at least in my opinion. But I will say that apparently we got to watch the Good Life? The Good Place.
The Good Place.
Yeah, like...
What's it about?
What's your face?
That's not nominated, is it?
No, that's a show. It's a TV show. But yeah, everybody's like, actually, it's pretty good. You got to watch it. It's pretty funny.
I don't even know what that comes on.
Like, it's one of the network channels, but it's like the chick goes to heaven, sort of. Except it's not called heaven.
That the girl that's in the refrigerator commercials.
Yeah, yeah, that chick.
Holy no thanks.
And is it Ted Danson?
Yeah,
exactly. I was like, man,
she's like, she's dead.
Why are people watching this?
That's the show. It's like a comedy, but
because it's a network sitcom, and people watch those fucking things.
At least three people the other...
I was watching Blackish briefly before I came over here. I've not watched that show other than that 5 minutes.
I heard that's good, too.
I keep hearing that, too, but I don't know. I don't like the way that they do shows now or something. Like, they feel weird.
Like, they're all kind of like Modern Family?
Yeah, and when they set up for jokes, there's no studio audience, so it just feels weird because it's quiet, but you know that they were putting a joke out there.
Yeah.
And nobody laughs.
Wait, are
and
you?
I'm
saying
not
that...
laughing.
So yeah,
they could use a studio audience in those moments.
I gotcha.
It's just I don't know. And then Anthony Anderson, I just can't watch him when he's skinny. I'm sorry. Good for you, guy. But
I need Anthony Anderson, fat.
Your large head and your small body just weirds me out.
Didn't we see another movie that was like nominated? Or
we saw another movie,
Captain Fantastic,
within which the actor was nominated. There you go.
Man, what? Del got to watch it because Del's going to have himself a new idol. A new...
That's true. You should watch this movie, Del.
So, Captain Fantastic. It stars Viggo Mortensen. And it's about a father of like five children. And they, it starts out with him living out in the woods. He's been out in the woods for like 10 years, and he's teaching them how to be live off the land.
And survive.
And homeschooling them. Like, you know, just to, without giving too much away, you know, he wakes them up at 6. They go run through the woods. They go mountain climbing. They go kill a deer. They cook it themselves.
They do anything for Black History Month?
No. And then like, he starts teaching. He teaches them, you know, philosophy and languages and all the other shit. They go to the library and they read all the books. And he's like, all the kids, the whole way. And I was like, man, Dell would have the hardest hard-on for this movie. Dell would want to be this guy. Dell tried to be this guy when he was a farmer. But, and you know, so, like, it's
pretty good.
It's pretty good. It was some good acting in there, I think. I don't know if Viggo Mortensen did anything particularly great, but, you know, maybe that was what made it so great.
Yeah.
It was believable. That's a good one. I think that one's on, like, iTunes. You can get that for $4. You rent that one. Do it.
Do it.
Cool. Do
it. Yeah. But outside of that, Gina, to answer your question, I kind of want to see Moonlight. But
yeah, I feel like it's one of those I'll never be ready to watch, but I feel like I have to watch it because everybody says it's so good. Yeah.
Why? Because is it long?
No, it just looks really emotional.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't want to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of want, like, something to escape, you know, life. And then you're just like, yeah, I don't want to go feel depressed after feeling depressed all day. Like, I just,
but I'm sure I'll watch it at some point.
Yeah, eventually you're going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
That's what they want, man. That's what they're trying to get you to do.
Watch depressed stuff when you're depressed. I don't know.
Yeah. Little things like that, though, about that movie. And it reminded me of things that we've talked about in the show. Like, say, if there was a zombie apocalypse right now, which is, like, the premise of World War Z. Like, what happened when that happened? Like, how society got flipped on its head. And there was one part in the book where they're, like, the house former housekeeper, right? She's teaching everybody how to, like, do practical things. And one of the chicks that her student, she stands up, she's like, I was a Hollywood producer. The last movie I produced grossed like $300 million worldwide. And they're like, sit down and learn some shit, because that doesn't matter now in this world, you know?
Nope.
And, you know, it just kind of reminds me that we're a little out of touch with some things. I think there's a scene in the movie where, like, somebody puts chicken on a table, and then one of the kids who's grown up this way, right, killing everything to eat it themselves. They're like, how did you kill the chicken? With like an axe or like a knife? You break its neck? And the lady's like, oh, I just bought it at the store. And yeah, it kind of reminds you how far you are removed from like the process of kill, you know, like, you know, it's me, like, man, I got this steak, but I haven't seen a real life cow.
Nope.
In a long time.
You don't even know where in the cow the steak comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know. So a little reminder that we're, you know, it's probably good to get in touch with where you get your shit from.
Or not, yeah.
Or not, yeah. I mean, it is a little impractical. It's cool to think, yeah, I'll make all my own furniture until you have shitty furniture everywhere.
Like, man, a lot of seats, broken chairs.
My seats are uncomfortable as fuck.
That doesn't look very level. That's why you find something that you like to do, that you're good at. Find somebody else that makes the furniture that you can't make and trade your stuff for their stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we've done. It just like it's just really abstract.
We all like to sit on the couch and watch TV.
Like Brad, you know, sells people drugs so that way he can pay for his house that somebody else built.
Yeah.
And watch TV, you know, et cetera, et cetera, all the way down.
Transfer medium of green stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
It just, you know.
It's trading so we can do what we want.
What was the best part about being a farmer, Dell?
It was the really the feeling of like being super connected to the direct process of the needs of life. You know, it really was. It really was like that, and then going out and saying, "I'm hungry. I'm gonna go grab a zucchini and a couple of tomatoes, you know, and some peppers and make something with that, you know." It's pretty awesome. Like
That was awesome. I felt good. It's like people, I've heard, you hear it said, it's honest, that sort of thing. It's honest work. And it's probably the purest sort of like
work
that I've ever done, where there's no room for, like, on that scale that we were doing it, there's no room for like getting around something, like skirting something or putting something off. You don't do it, and you don't produce the food that you need to eat, you know? So
then you die.
Yeah.
What's the closest that you've ever been to something like that, Bradley?
Death?
No, not death. Like honest work.
Honest work.
Because I think death was probably like the last time you were driving sleepy and you almost veered off the road or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I've done hard manual labor, but it didn't feel very. There wasn't a whole lot of honesty to it.
It's very just digging holes, labor.
Vandalizing places. I was
just unloading semis like in a tin building. But you know, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of utility to it. It's like a big corporation, you know, and they're like, "We move this. We order this shit from people who sweat it out in shops for $2 a year."
Yeah,
and you got to pack it into a different box so we can send it somewhere so they can sell it. And I don't know. I mean, I think that's the hardest job I've ever had. That I honest, meh. No, I don't know. I don't think I've done any honest work. Or if it is honest, I wouldn't refer to it as honest work because it's not laborious enough, right?
Like, yeah, maybe. I mean, because
I feel like right now, I feel like I'm doing honest work. Like, I tell people actual information, even if it's contrary to what my employer wants me to tell them. I mean, they're like, "Oh, we got to fucking sell more of these eardrops over here," even though it's homeopathic shit and it might perforate your kid's eardrum. I'm like, don't buy that shit, you know?
I think that. But honest, the way that I mean it is like you see the direct results of what you do, you know, like sometimes like if I'm teaching, right, or if I'm working at a church or whatever, like what I do, I think I'm doing good or I believe that I'm doing good, but
you're not
like
sure.
You don't necessarily see the results, and somebody else might say, "No, what you're doing is not good for the church, or what not good for the students, or whatever." And like, it becomes a conflict of ideas and
yeah, well, philosophy
more than like, yeah.
The way I interpreted you saying honest work is like the ratio is more 1-to-1 between work put in and then good come out. You know what I mean? Like you see, like especially like eating, right? Because I don't know how much good you're doing for the world, because I think it could be argued that, you know, out there doing this farm kind of stuff is questionable. There's some ethical things there, like, well, is all this stuff really good for the world? I mean, what good? But you know, you worked hard to produce food and you ate that food. You know, that's good.
Pretty awesome.
That's a good 1-to-1 relationship. Whereas, you know, like we were talking about the indirect nature of, I don't know. Building a website, you know what I mean? Like, it's easy. It's hard to see all the value. Like, did I work a hard 8 hours, or you know, like I worked an hour and then I kind of ticked around a little bit, or you know what I mean? I think it's harder to see the ratio there. Gina, what about you?
Honest work.
The most honest work you've ever done.
I don't know.
Dang.
None.
Come on.
I mean, hard labor. I worked in a distribution center.
Yeah.
Was that honest work? I mean, could I see the direct result? I don't know. I could drive down the highway and see like cones like I just wrapped at work. Like, hey, I probably sent those to them.
Yeah. Just killing it out here.
Babysitting, is that good? Like, you just watch someone's child for them, and then...
Maybe.
It's hard to see that, like...
And they give you monies? I don't know.
Yeah, I think...
Probably
I
not. I mean, I never did anything where I was, you know, producing what I needed to take care of myself directly.
Yeah, I think I've done hard work, like a bust of mass some days, and then I get paid for it. And I felt good about it. And I think some people call that honest work, but I think the most honest work is probably a farmman busting your ass for the, to produce the food that you're going to get. I think probably the most honest work that you do, Gina, is probably making food all day or something like that in the kitchen.
Good point.
Yeah, nobody gives you any credit for that. But yeah.
Good point.
There you go.
Give my credits.
Yeah, true, true, man.
Oof, honest work every day.
I am married.
All day.
Every day I'm hustling.
Dang.
You, just the honestest person in here, Gina.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say that we're all a bunch of useless...
Bags of shit. Yeah. I agree.
I do technically farm.
Yeah. Produce milk.
I do. I eat all day, and then I pump it out, and then I feed your child.
That's good, yeah. I don't even know what I
do. Getting it directly from the tap.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. I forgot I was a saint. It's all coming back to me now.
So, I guess I'm kind of, there's other things we could talk about, but I think they'll easily veer into talking about Donnie Trump. And I just really can't, I just cannot, yeah. It can fucking not.
He's at the right root now with of all it. Topics.
I agree.
It is like dominating my day though. I like, you know, and like Gina said, I try not, you know, like, I try to only take in enough to be informed, be on top of shit. So somebody says, well, are you going to be ready to get rounded up? And I'm like, what? And, you know, like, I know. Well, they're rounding me up
today. I can only
today.
Get on Twitter now when I'm ready to get involved in the conversation about this. And then I'm like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah. Today was National Signing Day, though. Colleges took in their new haul of unpaid labor.
That's right.
Yay.
And Georgia got a great class.
Yeah. Didn't you go to Ole Miss, though?
Yeah, and I'm not cheering for those guys. Yeah. I cheer for Mississippi State. Mississippi State did not have a good recruiting class. That's okay.
Didn't I go to what?
Uh-huh. Ole Miss.
No, I went to State.
No, I was talking to Brad. Did you went to, where's State? You went to Mississippi State?
I didn't know.
I did.
Before I started college. I took zoology and college algebra there. There you go.
Zoology.
So if you're going to root for a college football team, for whatever reason, Brad chose his wife's team. He took his wife's name. Goes through Georgia.
No, I cheer for Mississippi State.
Weber Agnew.
But I didn't go there either. I mean.
Yeah. And Dell.
I just want Georgia to win because I don't want my wife to be pissed off. It's just easier.
Del, I guess, I mean, your parents root for what, Southern Miss, right? It's the Seattle squad.
Yeah.
Did they get a good haul today? Did you even pay attention?
Maybe. I don't know, man. I didn't know today was signing day.
Text your dad, see what he says. Like, what do you think of the recruiting class? Like,
they're asleep.
God, they got it.
They don't pay attention to that kind of stuff either, really.
For what it's worth, North Texas got a pretty mediocre class in terms of Conference USA rankings, but the coach is like, yeah, well, we don't really care about stars. We care about players on the field, which is what you say when you don't get a great class.
Yep,
if you got a great class, you're like, man, look at them stars, man.
That's right.
It's like a galaxy in there, you know? If not, you're like, hey, what does it matter? It doesn't matter.
But you get a couple of flash lights, and you're like, maybe we'll make them into stars. We'll see what happens.
So that's what's going on there. So University of Houston flipped one of our dudes.
Yeah,
and one of my coworkers who went to University of Houston, he tweeted at me. He's like, "Ha!" So there you go. That's
what do y'all think is the most ridiculous Trump policy, or I don't know,
you know,
thing?
Brad just.
The thing that just pops into my the thing that pops just, into my head right now is him saying today.
So what do you think about Trump?
The most ridiculous thing today, I read a little bit of what he said about Black History Month today. And it started out by saying Martin Luther King, the statue we had in here, and they ended up with the media lies. You know? So then I was like, what? He just does not say anything.
On Frederick Douglass.
And then he said the Frederick Douglass. He's a guy that, you know, he's doing great things and you know, he's getting a lot more notoriety. Like, do you know he's dead? He's So everything's awful, man. I can't even listen to these dudes. And let's not talk about Donald Trump. Let's talk about Mitch McConnell over here saying like, I can't believe the Democrats are going to be obstructionists. When like last year, Mitch McConnell was like, the greatest feeling I ever had was telling Barack Obama, you will not nominate the next Supreme Court justice because we're going to block them. And they were talking about if Hillary Clinton won, they're like, they were planning to not have a Supreme Court justice for the next 4 years at least. So for them, any one of them to even say, I can't believe the Democrats are going to be obstructionists. It just pisses me off. And so I just did not think about it. But thanks for that, Brad.
Did you guys hear about the...
Two things on that, if I could just interject real quick. One, I think no Democrat should be fucking allowed to even run for office if they broke form. For anything. Fucking
what?
Approval and approvals. If there's like a bill that needs to get through and they're like, well, we really need like... come over. No, fuck you. You don't get elected. You don't get to run.
And that's kind of what the Tea Party, the more extreme Republican Party, that's what they're saying. Anybody agrees with the Democrats, then vote them out of office. So I think this is good because the Democrats haven't really been like that. Gina, you were going to say something?
No, Brad has a second thing.
Oh. And the other thing is I'm just sick of Christians saying that it's okay to hate on refugees.
Yeah,
it's just disappointing, and I feel like not only is it just fundamentally anti-Christian, but this is the same kind of garbage that you hear out of the Trump campaign. They find some person somewhere to be like, well, this is why, and they'll make up a goddamn reason, and it's ridiculous. And like, they're gonna find some conservative pastor from somewhere who's gonna dig up some random passage that you could barely link to a refugee on a bad day, and that's what they're going to use for the substantiation of why you don't want a refugee in your country. And to me, it just smears Christianity in a bad light. And I guess that's okay because I'm not against that faith failing. But it's just disgusting. I think those are the two things that got me wrong.
Did you guys hear about the mayor of Berlin's message to the United States?
Nope.
Pleading with our president not to build a wall.
Wow.
Yeah, Germany, I think they said we as Germans kind of know a little thing about building walls and dividing people and
we Berliners.
Why you shouldn't. And they basically ended up using like Reagan's line, like, yeah, you know, in the words of another president, Donald Trump, don't build that wall. It's like, dang, we're getting owned by the Germans. Yeah.
Oh, the Germans.
What are you wearing? Are you wearing a blanket?
Yeah, I've got a slanket on.
No, the thing is that we don't really know.
I don't have my flusen.
I am not for strict obstructionist policy ever. I think that if there's something that's a worthwhile thing, policy that the Republicans or Trump puts up on the table, if that happens by accident from Trump, that they should let it go through.
I actually agree. Like, I think you're right.
Like, that doesn't do any good for anybody.
You're right.
But they shouldn't. What they shouldn't do is posture to try and make themselves look better to the people on the fence. I just don't think there are that many people on the fence. You know, I think that I think that they're the people that are for Trump and are not going to not be for Trump no matter what happens. And there's everybody else.
Well, I think the difference is that some Democrats need to get reelected and they need money from super PACs. And there are a lot of Republicans with money. And I think that some of these Democrats will vote wherever the money takes them. You know, sure. Unlike the Republicans who are just like staunchly against. But part of the reason they were staunchly against is because they had money to be staunchly against. So, you know, it's sort of don't know.
I mean, I think there's a practical way to do it, like a political pragmatism, you know, like how to get elected or how to win a vote. There's that aspect of it. And I don't think it always matches up exactly with how to govern correctly.
Right.
And I mean, just look at the strategy that the Republican Party has put into place since basically Barack Obama was elected. It's been pure obstructionism, and they were rewarded with the presidency, the House, and the Senate. You know, so like,
yeah.
I mean, you can't even say, well, you know, an obstructionist Congress is gonna, you know, hurt you at the polls. Actually, no, because then you get to make rules that limit the number of people that come out and vote for the other side, right?
Yeah.
Just witness like the North Carolina gerrymandering, a lot of the things. Everybody's been gerrymandering the whole time. Yeah, everybody's been doing it. But then this is like extreme stuff. Let's roll back some of the civil rights gains that. The Voting Rights Act, right? Stuff that put protections in place for African Americans, essentially, who typically vote Democrat. So roll those back, and then all of a sudden, like North Carolina, Wisconsin, Texas, they've seen a lot of. They made it really hard to vote for a lot of people, right? You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like some of these things, I don't even consider them fair, but I think the Democratic Party is responsible for combating these things. Right, they got to play the game. You got to play the game and win it. And so I think from that end, that's what they got to do. They got to play some obstructionist stuff. But yeah, I think Dale, you have a good point. I mean, I'd like to see if there's a good policy on the table and they want to vote for it. Then yeah, we don't want a dysfunctional government, right? But
yeah,
I don't. I also think there's other things at stake. Larger than, you know, passing a bill that's going to fund some bridge someplace. You got me talking politics. You know, I watched that again, The Hateful Eight, and I think the language didn't really, I guess because I was prepared for it, right? Everybody was like, man, they really said the N-word a lot in that movie. I think when I watched it in the theater, I was kind of aware of it. I think mostly because there's just a lot of other white people in there, and I was like, some of these people, I don't know if they're taking his license to just go and say it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I was just kind of watching it by myself. And that's a good movie, man. It is a good movie.
Really?
It's entertaining. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I like the build up to it. It's good. Quality movie, guys.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Kid reminds me of Brad. Brad did the same thing. He joined a podcast one day and just started talking. We didn't really invite him.
Right.
Like, who invited this dude?
You don't need an invitation. It's not necessary. You show up.
I don't know. And you guys a movie that you've seen recently? You're like, you know, this is actually pretty good. Anything comparable?
Yeah, I liked Interstellar.
That's a good movie. I haven't seen it since the theater, but does it hold up? How many times have you seen it?
One time. Saw it last week.
Look at you catching up on 2012.
That's right.
Yeah. Almost there, guys.
I saw Rogue One. I think that's the last movie I saw.
Well, I mean, like a movie that came out already that you've seen twice. But Brad's the exception because he only gets to see the first run movies from 8 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything? You haven't seen. You don't know what movies are.
We were rewatching Mad Max: Fury Road for like the sixth time.
Yeah,
it's still good.
Yeah,
I like that movie.
We saw that twice in the theater though, and both times were great.
Jeez.
Yeah, I remember it. Like, I remember watching that movie. Right, the first time I was like, "Whoa, this is great."
It already has the feel of like a Terminator or something else like that. Like, it feels gritty and worn, but still entertaining and action-packed.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It starts, and then it just goes, and it, like, non-stop. Doesn't even take a break, you know? And then you, then the movie's over, and you're just like, that was, like, fun and exciting, you know? I remember being in the theater, and, like, I felt myself being into it. Like, I was like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? Like, you know what I mean? I was kind of tensing up at some of the parts.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I cannot remember the last time I watched a movie like that. For instance, the most recent Star Wars, the Star Wars, not the prequel or whatever the fuck. I watched that, and I did check my watch halfway through it. I was like, oh, God, what time is it?
Yeah.
But Mad Max, I felt like, it's already over? Like, that was it? I mean, man, I want some more. And when I saw it the second time, too, I felt myself still in. I knew it was going to happen. I was just like, oh, shit. It's a good movie.
Pretty impressive. I got to watch that.
Yeah. We bought it on Blu-ray, and we watched it, and watch it every time it comes on. Like, if it comes on, there's no point where I'm like, I've seen this. I'll watch it again.
In the house, it doesn't matter. It's not like you're going to go cook dinner.
Yeah.
My sister and dad watched it together, and I don't know what I was doing, but I came in, and I was doing something else, and I will say it's the noisiest movie I've ever. Like, it's nonstop noise. And you can come in the last 20 minutes to sit down and still find enjoyment in the movie. It doesn't matter. And then the plot doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, like, the plot is a relatively simple one. I think, but I don't know. Like I said, it's an entertaining movie. And I think when you, like, you can appreciate it, like, that, like, from afar. I'm like, oh, that was fun. It was blowing up and cars and stuff, right? But then I think there's a lot of other themes that are involved in there and well-placed that... you can appreciate it a little bit deeper. Like, oh, this is like a commentary on like society, or this is a commentary on women's roles, or this is a commentary on just like, you know, going to war, you know, like warlords or people just using the weak. You just like a bunch of other things in there that you could, you know, if it was your want, you could sit down and start cranking out a think piece on it. And I think people have. There's also a couple of the special effects roles where they just say, like, look how they did this one scene where this thing blows up. It was a real effect, and they just kind of show it without the computerized imagery, and that's pretty, pretty cool, too. Good stuff, man. Yeah, I should have won Best Picture, I think. I enjoyed it.
What one?
I think, was that 12 Years a Slave, the one that year, Gina? Yeah. See, that's the thing, though, about the Oscars. Like, how many times did the best movie of the year win? Like, I forget what won the year that The Dark Knight was nominated, but that should have won. People remember that movie. Nobody remembers what else won.
Yeah. It's just reverse racism.
Well, Lord of the Rings. White
man.
Won.
It should have won.
The third one? Won. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
When's the last
time? First one probably should have won, but they waited till the third one. That's fine.
Yeah, it was like a completion Oscar. Yeah, I don't know.
It was best movie, dude. It was the best movie of those 3 years.
Yeah, I guess. Was it all filmed together?
Filmed it nonstop, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Jesus. That's exhausting.
Another Viggo Mortensen movie.
Seriously, what was their timeline on the shoot? Like 9 months?
More than that, I think.
Yeah. It was long. You can understand why they all got tattoos together of...
No shit.
Of a clock?
No, of the... calendar? The Elvish... the Elvish symbol for 9.
Oh. There you go. I don't know, man. I seen all three of those movies, and they didn't grab me. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool.
I thought they were pretty good. 274 days.
Dang, that's like 10 years, huh?
Yeah, man. So something like 9 months.
Is that 9 months? It's about 9 months.
Step away from the microphone. Step away. All right.
Jeez. Awesome.
I think she's telling us that it's time to wrap up and look at her. We probably do a podcast with just her talking all the time.
No kidding.
I think a parent could listen to their kid do that, but everybody else would be like, oh, yeah. It's maybe like 2 minutes. They're like, oh, yeah, it was real cute. And they're like, okay, I don't want to hear anymore.
So, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. It's like when somebody else tries to show you like a video of their kid.
Yeah.
And do you do the polite thing? You do the polite cohort thing? Yeah, that's fucking great. Yeah, I definitely want to watch this. Yeah.
Like
60 seconds, really? You want me to watch? Okay, fine. I'll watch like, this 60-second video of your kid. Great.
Is it going to start? Then, like, are they doing something?
Yeah, and then you get done. And they're like, oh, but just look at the... And then you're like, no. That happened to me last week. Some chick. I suffered through one. I've got this other one of Caden. And I don't give a fuck about Caden. Caden. Okay.
Yeah. I think I'll save him up. So, like, if somebody's interested, like, occasionally somebody at work, right? Like, my old boss is like, yo, how's your kid? I'm like, you want to see a picture? Boom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's a video. Boom. Doing something cute. Done. See you in another month. Maybe two.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, keep wanting more. I think that works out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's something that you let it build up, right? This is, like, the problem with Facebook, right? If you see everybody through the years, you're like, oh, yeah, I seen him. I seen him yesterday. You know?
Yep.
So you posted that picture, I saw it. But if you come around, like, here's a whole list, done. So, like, every once in a while, I see you dip into Twitter and Instagram, Brad.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to branch out.
Yeah,
I don't do it on like a daily basis. Yeah,
he really is like he really like, is in 2012 still.
Damn. I think I'm ready to try my hand at this Instagram thing. Yeah.
And 4 years, like, hey, anybody want to join Snapchat with me?
I've heard the Snapchat thing. Let's draw with friends?
Yeah. All right, I think we're about done. Gina, you want
to? Yeah. I like that app. Nobody ever wanted to play with me.
I did, too. So, I thought it was fun.
Why didn't you guys play each other?
Hit me up,
you
Brad.
You can still play each other right now.
I played the heck out of that. We did.
I was just bored. It's just like, it was just boring.
I'll send you a request, Gina.
All right, cool.
I think y'all did play each other for a while.
Well, it's on again.
Okay. You have anything else you want to wrap it up with? Wrap it up.
I'll take it. Did we talk about the movie that nobody watched?
No. I mean, we can talk about it now.
Listeners may have watched.
All right, let's talk about Gina right now. The Interview, starring Hugo Weaving from Australia.
And who's the co-star? Tony Martin.
Tony Martin.
Yeah, it was an Australian film from 1998. And it was 103 minutes long, in case you're curious about that. Adam was.
Yeah, I was wondering how long it was. Because we tried to sneak it in. We also didn't do our homework. I think the other two.
Yeah, we gave ourselves 2 weeks and we waited till the very last.
Squeeze it in last minute. We even postponed the podcast a little bit.
But yeah, the entire, mostly the whole film takes place in an interrogation room.
Yeah.
And
interview room.
It's like Australian a tense terms. Interview, basically, the premise of the movie. Who done it? Kind of a mystery.
All right, so this is like they said it's criminally underwatched, one, and that Hugo Weaving's performance was pretty amazing. Those are the two things people say about this. And I'll say that I can see how it doesn't really translate to our audiences a little bit. At one point somebody goes, "I got one word for you. Toe cutters." And I was like, "What? What the hell does that mean?" I googled it. The first thing that comes up was Toe Cutter from, like, Mad Max 2. This is the same guy, by the way, that played Immortan Joe in Mad Max, this one, Fury Road. But it's an Australian term that basically means, like, IED, like, internal affairs, internal investigation. A criminal who hunts other criminals. So I had to stop and Google it to understand what the hell they were talking about or why that was such a big moment in the movie. But yeah, I mean, it is good. It's kind of a little bit of a mystery. Some good acting. It does take place in one room. you really got to be paying attention to it. It's not something, like Del said, that you can watch with one eye on it because it, the accents really get you.
Yeah, their accents are really thick. And yeah. We had to keep turning up the volume. I was like, what are they saying?
Yeah. That happened to me when the other day when we were watching The Young Pope. Are you guys watching that?
Mm-mm. Any good?
It's okay. It's okay. But okay. There's a couple people that speak Italian, and then when they speak English, you don't know what they're saying, so you have to watch it. Yeah. So it's like one of those things I'll kind of glance at my phone to kind of see what's going on, like how exactly I'm going to die by Donald Trump's hand. And I look over and then I'm like, what? What did I miss something?
Yeah.
So, but there you go.
So, since you brought his name back up, I just want to, like, I was just looking at the Breitbart website, just for instance.
Yeah.
An article on CNN, Trump's quote about not watching CNN because he doesn't like fake news. And dude, the comments are full of people saying, in full support of the concept of Trump, like pulling, like shutting CNN down, like not allowing them to broadcast, like taking control of media and deciding who can. Like, these people are in America, dude, and they're huge. They're a bigger number than I think that we even realize.
Yeah.
That want to give, think Trump is going to be the savior and would give him ultimate fascist, like tyrant powers if it came to it. So we need to quit. Like, I came to this realization, I think middle of last week, like we need to quit thinking that we can reason our way through, like cause people to like undersee the light by logic or reason or anything like that. And
yeah,
it's going to be complete rhetorical, emotional, like convincing, like that's going to drive people to not support Trump anymore. It's not going to be anything that he does. Like, everything he does is going to be the right thing in these people's eyes. It doesn't matter, you know? So it's an interesting, thing to see.
There are freaking crazy people out there.
Yeah, everywhere.
Like, they tell you, you know, people caution each other not to, I guess, put too much stock into what you read on the internet, especially in the comments section of anything. But, I mean, these are real people, right? Somebody went and wrote that, and they had those thoughts in their head. Like, yeah. I saw a picture on Instagram. It was like someone had twins, and they were like they had black twins. Like, the woman who carried the children was white, and the husband was black. And, oh, their twins came out black. I was like, yeah, right, whatever. So I Googled it just to see, like, what comes up on this story. And I happened on some kind of like internet chat room for like the darkest racist people. They're just saying like these hideous things about this. And that's when I told you I had to Google a new word that I learned on the subject. But people are crazy. And they spend their time just... What was it? It was like a word for when a guy...
Is it cuck?
Yes. Yeah. They were throwing that word around like crazy.
That's a super popular word amongst the mid-20-year-olds and college students these days. Yeah, they don't even know what it means. They use it as a substitution for the F word. But a cuckold is somebody who is
gets cheated on, right?
Well, it's somebody who is like so emasculated. And the woman, his female partner, like, can do, humiliates him by basically sleeping with other people in front of him and making him watch, sort of thing.
Wow.
But he is, like, okay with it. Like, he accepts this and is not.
But these
not
people
like,
use it specifically to mean it's a white guy whose woman goes and cheats on him with a black guy.
Yeah. It's like the other. I mean, everything has a nice racist tinge to it. You know what I mean? It can't just be normal humiliation.
But it has it's more generally used. Like, the people that I heard using it weren't using it in couched in any terms except, oh, like, you got screwed over, you got cucked. They would say that, and they don't even know what the heck they're saying, man. It's just something that's inner gamer terminology.
This is
lingo.
Like. I mean, if you want to trace all of it, right? I mean, it started as in some of the alt-right sites and also like 4chan. Some of like, you know, like the deeper internet, like people like literally just, you know, teenager internet. And then it kind of made its way this way because a lot of alt-right people, like on Breitbart, start saying stuff like that. They start bringing it. And then you have all these pieces like, what does cuck mean? Investigating the alt-right's term. What is all this stuff? So then other people read it, and then so they kind of use it ironically. In the same way, I'll kind of make Trump jokes with like my friends sometimes. I'm like, well, you guys ready to build that fucking wall or something like that? Kind of same thing.
Yeah.
Or like I'll hashtag some more text conversations, like making America great right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's how it gets into just people like just nonchalantly using it. But yeah, don't read the internet.
All truth, man. Why not?
Yeah. By the way, subscribe to our site on the internet.
Yeah. Listen to us.
Listen to us. The only truth in this world. I mean, if Donald Trump could say it, I could say it too, right? I feel like the only place you're going to get some truth is right here on the Deranged Penguin podcast. We got truth coming at you. You know, it's no fake news, all real news. I'm starting to think, as was it Senator Lindsey Graham said, you know, when you think about it, probably the only real news is coming straight out of derangedpenguin.com, right? You think about it.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Or he she. Said it. I saw it. I read it. I know it's true.
It's she. Real news.
Shim said it, man. Yeah. I think the only way to get through some of this stuff, man, is with some humor. But then you can kind of put yourself in like a little wall of jokes. And you never really experienced the real world. Next thing you know, you're getting deported to build a wall. You know,
right? Which right. I feel well, like it's gonna happen. Yeah, so I think staying somewhat emotionally detached, however, through humor or whatever, is the best way to be, but not oblivious. You have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah,
you know, a vigilant eye while staying emotionally detached from it. And what I will say for myself is that. In my life, I've tended to sit on the outside and like make the funnies and not get emotionally invested in any of them, just kind of watch the fires burn. And I feel a little bit responsible for letting it get to this point where, you know, and so now I'm trying to take stands, be active, give forewarning, if for no other reason to be like, we talked about this, we said this was coming, you know.
Yeah.
But not get so caught in it up in it that I'm swallowing every crazy conspiracy that's out there. Like Trump's not nearly a on the level of like fascist tyrant. Like he doesn't have that much control. We haven't ceded that much control. He hasn't really done anything to try to take that much control yet. He's just an idiot who's doing things without consulting the people that matter. And probably just listening to Bannon, Steve Bannon, and just doing things without really thinking about them. And they're biting him in the butt right now. It hasn't gotten sinister yet. Not real sinister.
Yeah. I think that, like,
but it's borderline disgusting.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you know, I think what was important is to compare it to things that have actually happened before. And I think what's good and why I don't feel like really that scared is because people are looking at it and they're like, hey, this is pretty fascist talk because we've seen fascist authoritarian regimes in the very recent past. And so we can kind of see how they all play out. At the very least, to even say, this is not so great, man. This is not okay for you to be doing this. And so then people get up and start protesting, say, calling him a fascist. Whereas before, maybe the first or second time, a nation went through a fascist, you know, change, they didn't really know where they're going. So all they had was like, I don't think this is going to be that bad. And then next thing you know, you know, everybody's pledging allegiance to the leader. I will say, like, just kind of wrap it up. I was having a conversation with some friends, and I was saying this, that this is good. If there is any good from it, and we mentioned this before, is that we see the end, right? You know, like, it's when a team loses in the finals or a team loses in the game, you're like, okay, now we got to get our shit together, and we got to play hard and practice hard and all that other stuff. Because the left, or at least the left side of the philosophical divide has been winning gains for a lot of years, right? Even if they were only minor, kind of half gains. Women got the right to vote in 1919, right? Black people got to use the same fountain and got to vote and go to the same school in the 50s and 60s. Women got to have abortions in the 70s. We got some gains in women's rights. We got some gains in gays and transgender and things like that, right? Even like Open and Beyond stuff that I was even ready to get. Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of on the fence when I was a kid, you know? Like, being gay, I don't know, man. And all of a sudden, you know, you can just be openly gay. Those are big, huge, gigantic gains. And, I mean, I don't think people are going to lose those that quickly. But the right, conservative, ultra-conservative, the racist right, has been taking a lot of L's for a lot of years. But they've been planting the seeds for the gains that we can get in the past couple years. Since like the 80s, saying, making their people sign these tax reform things, making, you know, everybody winning gains, organizing, you know, founding news organizations. They've been planting the seeds to win these gains right now. And I think on the left, you kind of have a lot of people saying, well, we're winning. It's always going to get better. And then forgetting the work that it took, the organizing, the protests, the unionizing all through those years, you know. Dr. Martin Luther King out there marching, you know what I mean, to win gains. Now people are like, oh, come on, what are you doing? You're just kind of tweeting. And that's a fun joke to say, right? Hashtag activism. But we haven't needed to get out in the streets and organize because we just haven't needed to, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, now it's good. Now everybody kind of see what it takes to win. What, you know, like what Dell was saying, to actively get out there and change people's minds to show that you're serious. It means getting out there. It doesn't mean just kind of making jokes from the sidelines.
Yeah.
It means getting out there and saying some shit. Participating actively. And so I think that's good. That's the good part of it all, is that a lot of people are seeing that you can't just be like, oh, it'll probably be bad. I can't believe they're doing that. And then you go watch The Bachelor. You know? Like, all right, I'm going to get out. I'm going to go out to the fucking airport. I'm going to write my congressman. I'm going to call my congressman. See, we already educated Brad already. Brad thought you just could Facebook message the dude. Hey man, I sent you a DM. You're not gonna. Did you see that? My thoughts in that law you voted for. Like, come on, dude. Ladies and gentlemen, for Gina, who's over there taking care of our child. This is Adam, Brad, Dell.
Brad.
We're gonna wrap this up. Thank you for listening,
Brad.
You can subscribe. Del.
Gina, Del.
Yeah, I like this. I know it. Brad, Joe. Del, Gina, Adam, Brad, Del, Gina, Adam. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can subscribe via just the naked XML feed. Do it. Tell your friends. We still podcast. We are, last I checked, the greatest podcast that ever did was in this universe.
If anybody tells you otherwise,
it's fake news.
There are alternative facts.
Yeah.
Fake news. Turn to the truth.
Yeah. So we are America's greatest podcast. Don't let anybody tell you different. Tell your friends, subscribe to the show, tweet at us, Red Range Penguin. Somebody's always manning that account, even if not actively. Someone's always checking it. So if you want to tweet at us, let us know. Let us know what you think of the show. We do appreciate your feedback. If you think Brad's blanket was ugly like I do, send him an email. I'm going to send him an email. Like, Brad, please don't wear that blanket again. That was gross.
It's a slanket dick.
If you think that Dell should not be doing these podcasts drunk like he did last week.
Or after 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think on one of them, I sounded real, real bad. It happens whenever we do the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. We really do appreciate your listenership. And your listener boats. Bye.